Here's the latest Donald Trump funny news. He just released his one-page tax proposal to reduce, to give everybody tax cuts for your federal income tax. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. This is so funny. It's ridiculous. It's a one-page thing. It's one page. It doesn't give the amounts in the income tax brackets. It says nothing. It's one page. Anyway, he introduces this, and here's the deal. Everything in it benefits him specifically. I mean, if you don't realize this because it's so obvious, then you're not thinking clearly. His corporate income tax goes from 35% to 15%. He only has to pay 15% of his business tax instead of 35%. This is his idea. Then, personally, the bracket that he's in, which is a billionaire, his taxes are reduced down to a much lower percentage than what he's paying now. So he's created a federal income tax plan that benefits him both personally and as a corporate business. And yet he still has the balls not to release his own personal income tax information, where we know that that one year that was leaked by Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, and it was only the first page, by the way, with no details, based just on that income tax year, Trump would be saving millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars under his new tax plan. And that's what I find funny today.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Please don't.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. What are the chances of that?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you so much. Yeah, Trump's going for the trickle-down economics, which over the decades has proven that it doesn't work. It's been tried two or three times in a major way, and both times it's failed miserably. It's only added to the deficit in huge ways. But Trump is saying, hey, give me all the money and I'll spend it, and then you'll benefit because I'm spending all the money that I have extra now because I gave myself more money. That's called trickle-down economics, which is really the same as trickle-down in your pants. It's it is when you can't hold your pee, that's also trickle down. And the middle class actually is getting peed upon with his trickle, which is a questionable amount. Anyway, welcome to the program. I told you before this was going to be a mess. This was going to be impossible. If you voted for that Trump guy, You didn't see the signs, did you? And by the way, the guy's only going to be here for 4 years, no matter what happens. So he's going to create a mess for somebody else to clean up. And you're going to walk around saying, oh, God, I'm so sorry I did this. Yeah, I know. Well, that's what she did. Yeah, anyway, God, man. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for being here. You're a wonderful person. I don't know you personally necessarily, but I'm sure you're wonderful by virtue of the fact that you tuned into this thing. And I hope you do this on a regular basis. I do this every single weekday. If it's a weekday, I've done it. And as long as I've done it, you might as well listen to it. I mean, it can't hurt you. Well, I guess it can, actually. But you're smart enough not to be hurt, aren't you? We all get hurt. Life is a series of speed bumps. I think some of us have hit more speed bumps than others, but yet there are a series of speed bumps that we cannot avoid. And speaking of speed bumps, we're going to be talking to a guest later on about car problem things and studies that are done to find out just how safe we are on the roads. And I thought that we were safer, but I guess we may not be. So we'll find out about that a little later on in the show. Okay? Okay? And then we're also going to talk to Chef Leticia Schwartz, who is on the Food Network, and she's a wonderful chef, a wonderful cook, a wonderful person, and she is Latino. It's fun to say it that way. You know, when you use certain words, you have to say them right. It's interesting. You can't say she is a Latino. You can, but that's not accurate. You have to say, and Chef Leticia Schwartz, and I don't know how, I don't know where the Schwartz Latino part comes in, but anyway, Chef Leticia Schwartz is with us, and she is a Latino. We do that with Italian names as well. It's not, Mickey Rabinowitz. No, that's not Italian, is it? Mickey Fungaggi just moved in down the street. You can't say it like that. You have to say, Mickey Fungaggi just moved down. You have to say the word in the vernacular or the vernicular or the vernacular of how it is meant to be said. Oprah even does that. Oprah talks very Caucasian most of the time. But when she gets down a little bit, she gets into that get down kind of slant, you know. She does. It's just, I'm sorry to insult, but it's absolutely true. Oprah will be very Caucasian. Yes, I went out dancing last night and had some bread, and I got down with it. You know, all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes. Well, we all do that. I think we all do that. I don't, because I'm special, but I think most of us do that, but I don't. So Chef Leticia Schwartz is going to talk to us about eating with diabetes, and that doesn't mean that you invite diabetes over and you have a meal with it. It means if you have diabetes, there's a certain way that you can cook. And my goodness, everybody's got diabetes. I know that's a very broad statement to make, but I think everybody eats far too much sugar. And I don't think you can argue that point with me. I don't think you can. You can't argue that point. It's a bipartisan point. Everybody eats too much sugar. And if you don't eat too much sugar, it's because you know you shouldn't be eating so much sugar. Sugar's just evil. And yet everywhere people are downing sugar like there's no tomorrow. They're pouring it into their coffee and eating cakes and pies and cookies, feeding it to your kids just to shut them up pretty much. But you know that stuff is just bad for you. Well, Ron, everything in moderation. Oh, okay, whatever. I have always been a proponent of cooking. I've talked about that on the show before. If you say to me, I don't know how to cook, I say to you, if you don't know how to cook, then you really shouldn't be walking or talking, because these are skills that are not difficult to pick up. You put food in a pan, you heat it up, you put some other ingredients in, you sit down, you eat it, wash the pan out afterwards, and that's kind of about it. If you have half a brain, if you know to put one foot in front of the other and call that walking, then you can certainly cook. And if you claim that you can't cook, that's not what you're saying. You're saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to cook. I don't want to stand over a stove or put foods together. I don't want to do it. I want someone to do it for me. And usually the people who say, I can't cook or I don't want to cook, are the mama's boys or the girls that are so freaking lazy because they're too entitled. There is nothing wrong with putting food together. It is part of our existence. We require food for fuel. And if you don't know how to put it together, other than just walking into a convenience store and giving them a dollar bill and they give you a protein bar, then you're missing out on something called humanity. Learn how to cook. It's not a big deal. And when you do, then you can use the ingredients that are healthy for you. You know what's going into that food. You know what's going into your mouth. When you walk into a restaurant, you have no idea. Sure, the server will come over and say, yes, it's a chicken that is sautéed in wine with a little carrot reduction. And carrot reduction is just like small carrots, I think. And they describe it to you, but they don't tell you everything. They don't say, yes, it's a carrot reduction. The chicken is basted in wine. But before that, we dip it in lard. We keep it outside in the sun for 3 days. We coat it in lard and oil and grease. We deep fry it in monkey balls, and then we slab 10-20 pounds of butter on it, and we use approximately 7,000 milligrams of sodium for taste. Would you like that as the special? It's only $19.95. They don't tell you that. You don't know what's going on in that kitchen to make that stuff tasty. All kinds of things. You don't even know what's in that stuff. The best thing to do is to cook for yourself. But Ron, I don't have time to cook. Don't you dare tell me that. You don't have time to cook? Do you have time to breathe? Do you have time to sleep? Do you have time to brush your teeth? It doesn't take that long to cook. It really doesn't. It's time to wind down, no matter how difficult your day is. It's time to wind down and prepare the fuel for your body to know exactly what's going in it. And not from prepared foods, from fresh ingredients. If you don't do that, you're missing out. And you're cheating your children, and you're cheating yourself, and you're cheating your family. I'm through yelling at you, because most of my listeners are intelligent people, and they know how to do this stuff. I think it's time to bring in Chef Leticia now, because I just think it is. She's on the Food Network. She's well known. I know her. That's enough for you to know. And she's been on the program before. She's a wonderful person. Chef. Hi, Chef Leticia. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ron?
I'm wonderful. Chef Leticia Morenas-Schwartz joins us. She's been with us before. She's one of my favorite food preparation, look at stuff so you can eat it nicely people. How's
Yay.
That? That's a long thing. Anyway, yeah, I love it. We've talked before, we should all be eating like we have diabetes. I guess that's not a really wonderful way to say things, but we should all eat healthy, and that's what you do when you have diabetes. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I remember when we talked, that's exactly right. I stole your line because you nailed it. We should all eat like we have diabetes. That's it. You said it all.
Yeah. True, because it's healthy. And as last time we talked, we also said that when you have a situation like that, sometimes that's a good thing because it had you not had type 2 diabetes or a concern about that, then you would never have eaten healthy and you could have really gotten unhealthy and sick anyway. So it's, you turn bad things into good things.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's pretty much, you know, the way that it happened to me and to my family. You know, we took, you know, kind of like a dark situation and turned into a much lighter. In my case, my grandfather died from complications of type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like revolutionized the mindset and the lifestyle that my family was taking.
Yeah.
And I know how serious the disease can be because of that. And also, Ron, with the Latin community in this country, almost 13% of the adults are already diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And that's why I am partnering with Merck and the American Diabetes Association on this campaign, and we've been working really hard and for a long time together to really empower the Latin community to take control over type 2 diabetes and live a healthier lifestyle and work with their doctors to reach and set their A1C goal and also understand the risks of low blood sugar.
Yes. And you've written about this and you cook this way, and now there's a diabetes challenge. What is that, so to speak?
So basically what we do is we try to engage with the community and we listen to the stories that people are facing. There are some stories of success, which we love to hear, but we also listen to a lot of challenges and struggles. When you have type 2 diabetes, you're facing with a lot of new situations that you didn't face before, and you have to make a change in your lifestyle. So, for example, one of the challenges that we hear the most is eating healthy. I mean, people don't have time to cook. People don't know how to make healthy choices. And people sometimes, they don't even know how to cook. So that's something that we are tackling on, you know, all of the main challenges that people face with type 2 diabetes.
Sure.
Another challenge that we hear that's very common is coping with the disease. Like, sometimes it's not just the person that has type 2 diabetes, but it's the whole family dealing with the situation. For example, in my case, in my family, my grandfather had type 2 diabetes, but it was really my grandmother who was cooking for the family.
Yes.
And she didn't have a lot of resources and education on how to, you know, deal with the situation. So what we try to bring to the community is really awareness and education, because knowledge is power, you know. And we try to really tackle each of the challenges. And there are many. You know, you have to visit with your doctor. You have to work on a plan that includes diet, exercise, and medication if appropriate. So there is a lot that, you know, it's included in the lifestyle.
Yes.
But the good news is that you can control type 2 diabetes and you can live a healthy lifestyle, and you don't have to sacrifice flavor, especially, you know, coming from me. I'm here to tell you that there is light, there is hope, you know. And you can still eat amazing foods, even if you have type 2 diabetes.
And amazing is right. All you have to do is hook up with the chef's website, and you can see what amazing is, even under the circumstances. You know, it's interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how old you are. I think I'm a little bit older than you. Nobody knew what this was when my parents were cooking for me. And this is an opportunity to change things, because now with the awareness, parents today can make sure that their children, if it is hereditary, that it's on the milder, controllable sense. This is but a generation away from as you say, people dying from it, and now that doesn't have to be, almost with a snap of the fingers, because of awareness.
Absolutely, and I think you touched a point that is so important. You know, when you talk about children, yeah. The more you cook at home, it's a gift that you're giving to your yes. family. You know, and I remember when my kids, so I'm in my 40s, you touched that point too, I'm in my 40s and I have two teenage kids now, and the way I look at them, we are so blessed because they are now eating everything, you know, and I prepare a lot of healthy meals for them, and they love the taste, they don't even know that, they don't even realize that, for example, this is brown rice instead of white rice, it just became second nature.
Yeah.
You know, and they love the taste of the food.
Well, that's the if you were brought up on Big Macs and all those things and fried chicken and sweets and things like that, then when you do make the change, it's a little bit more difficult. But if you're brought up the proper way and you eat the healthy foods, then that's what you like and that's what you love and that's what you know. It's interesting how we shape things based on our childhood and our eating habits. Let me ask you a question that I haven't asked you before. I really haven't asked anybody. When people try to stay away from sugars, they tend to go for the artificial sweeteners. And there are so many reports about them. They're not stable reports. Sometimes it's just okay. Other times it's harmful. What do you do when you want to sweeten something a little bit?
That's a great question, Ron. And and I have to say, you know, it's very tricky because one of the things that I suggest is to really work with your doctor, but not just with your doctor, but with a nutritionist. I think that it's we all have a little bit of that sweet tooth. We all have the need.
Yes.
And there are some things that you can eat that will satisfy that craving. So for example, you know, I don't want to say with full authority because I'm not a doctor, but as a chef, I can tell you that there are so many foods that you can eat that satisfy that craving. For so for example, grapes are very sweet and they're in their natural state. Other fruits. So I think that the best way to actually tackle that is to develop a plan or a diet with a nutritionist.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. It gets confusing because I know so many people who say, no, I don't do sugars. I drink 5 gallons of Diet Coke every day. And it's like, well, okay, don't think you quite get it. But I'm not sure.
Exactly. And that's the alarming part. And I think that, you know, there's no Diet Coke, there's no brownie, there's no cookie that is worth the taste that's going to take your health off, you know.
Yeah.
We really need to make a change.
Okay. Well, you continue to bring awareness to it, and you continue to prove to everybody that you can just enjoy food as much as you ever did, because there's so many possibilities. So tell us, first of all, where we can get some of these food cooking at home ideas, because when you cook at home, you're in total control of what goes into the food and what foods are being used. So where do we go for that? And then where do we go for more information on the American Diabetes Challenge?
So you can visit our website, America's Diabetes Challenge. It has a lot of bilingual resources, recipes, all of these recipes that we're talking, by the way, you know, arroz con pollo, the enchiladas, papaya, there are so many delicious recipes that I developed for the program, and they're all there at America's Diabetes Challenge. You can also, if you would like to visit my own website, I am chefleticia.com. And, you know, just keep your mind open and be aware, you know, and visit with your doctor to live a healthy lifestyle.
Excellent. Good to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Don.
Thank you, Chef. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And the name is Ron. It's Ron, it's not Don. It's Ron, not Don.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Along with boneless wings, house made chips, and Boston's best sweet potato fries.
Guys, it's time to man up, grow a pair, and eat what you want to eat.
The Boston Burger Company, Davis Square, Somerville, and Boylston Street, Boston.
Actually, growing a pair means that you're bold enough not to eat that crap. It's the opposite. Don't reward people for eating grease and gristle. And meat juice and bacon and cheese dripping off of a glistening meat patty and a gigantic bun, 12,000 calories. I exaggerate, 1,200 calories perhaps. That's not balls. That's stupid. Balls is saying I'm going to eat properly and not fall into this corporate lure of catfishing my organs. Destroying my body. That's not balls. That's stupid. Thank you for listening to me complain. That's what I do. I'm a grumpy bastard, huh? I'm a grumpy old man. That's what I am. I'm grumpy. Not really. I'm lovable. I'm lovable and grumpy.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
We were talking at the beginning of the show about cars and road safety, and I told you that we were going to speak to a special guest or spank a different guest. That's what we're going to do. We're going to spank a different guest every day. We won't interview them. We'll just spank them. Isn't it interesting how spanking can be totally opposite as far as being favored is concerned? When you're young and you're a child, you fear being spanked. Oh my God, my parents are going to get home. They're going to spank me. You don't want to be spanked. Spanked is a punishment. It's bad to be spanked. Bad spanking. You're not supposed to spank your children either. Don't spank them. That's violent. That's hitting them with something in your hand and smacking their ass. That's bad. That's bad to do. Don't hit people and don't spank people. That's horrible. That's a punishment, spanking. Then you get a little bit older and you get into the chicka bow wow kind of sexual stuff. You know, the sexual world of pleasure. And all of a sudden spanking is something that makes you smile. Where a woman who complains about being abused and physically abused when they're in a sexual situation with someone they like, they can actually say, spank me, go on, spank me hard. That confuses me. I just got to tell you, that confuses me. Spanking is bad. Spanking is good. I don't know. If you're a child, spanking is bad. If you're an adult, spanking is good. You're confusing me. The sound of someone's hand meeting flesh at a high velocity, to me, is not good. To me, that's bad. Am I right?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Well, let's talk about sex for now. To the people at home or in the crowd.
All right, that's enough. All right. I don't know why I got onto that. Well, I do. I mispronounced a word and then we got into spanking. That's why the show is so odd. I wouldn't listen to it personally. No, actually I would. I would actually. This is the way most people's brains operate. The way that I talk is the way most people's brains operate. You jump from one category to another and you don't even know how you got there. And you know that's true. It's like, where did I put my keys? I just had them a minute ago. Where did I put my keys? It's that kind of feeling. If you have a child, by the way, new subject. If you have a child who drives, or a loved one that drives, and we all do, most of us love somebody, and you worry about their safety on the road. And I thought today it would be a kind of interesting to speak to an expert about that. Okay, you got a teenage kid. It's time for them to drive. Oh my goodness, my life is over. My hair is going to turn gray in 10 seconds, and I'm going to start tearing my hair out, of which I personally have no luxury of doing. What do you do?
Hi, Ron. It's Russ Rader.
Russ, how are you? Russ Rader joins us. He's a senior VP of communications at IIHS, which is the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. And we're talking about the safest used cars for teens. Is it still the case, since I was a kid, that your first car would probably be a used car?
Yeah, that's what we have found, Ron, when we've done surveys of parents, is that teens are often driving used cars, and unfortunately they're often driving older, smaller vehicles,
yeah,
which aren't as protective as bigger, heavier, and newer vehicles. So we tried to give parents some guidance on this by putting together a list of recommended used vehicles at different price points, mm-hmm, that meet our safety criteria.
Are used vehicles tend to be a little bit more palatable than they used to be?
Well, they're certainly safer than they used to be.
Okay.
In fact, we were able to make the safety criteria that we've used. This is the third time we've, mm-hmm, produced this list. We've been able to strengthen the safety criteria because safety features, better crash test ratings,
right,
filter down through the used car market as vehicles improve over time. So we've got safer vehicles, and we've got a wide choice of price points as well.
Okay. So I guess the real trick to this is finding a quality car at a decent price. Sometimes those two factions conflict.
Well, you know, we did a survey several years ago, and, you know, while parents are obviously concerned about the safety of their teen driver, they often have outdated ideas about what makes a safe vehicle. They tend to think about safety in terms of features like the number of airbags, but they aren't as well informed about safety features like electronic stability control, for example. And that is a technology that we require to be standard on all of the vehicles that we recommend because it's an important feature for helping teens stay out of crashes to begin with.
Yeah.
It's a feature that helps a driver keep a vehicle under control in a sharp curve if they're going too fast or if they're overcorrecting on the highway. And those are the kinds of situations that teens are more likely to get into. So we require electronic stability control on all of these vehicles.
Okay, well, that's different. What else is what you consider to be a requirement when choosing this?
Well, there are some things parents should avoid. They should avoid high horsepower vehicles. They should, because that, you know, can encourage
certainly.
A teen to take risks behind the wheel. Certainly. Avoid small cars because they're not as protective as bigger, heavier vehicles.
Yep.
We don't have any small or mini cars on this list. As I said, we require electronic stability control, and parents should be looking for a vehicle that has decent crash test ratings conducted by IIHS and the government. And that is another important criterion for this list.
You know, speed always seems to be a factor. If we have just an extra minute here, I've never understood this. Why do American cars, and actually all car manufacturers, why is the speed so high on a car? Why should you be allowed to go 120 miles an hour for any reason?
Well, that's a good question. And we have, you know, states that are exacerbating the situation by raising speed limits.
Yeah.
But that's part of the consideration for parents when they're buying a vehicle is to avoid the vehicles with high horsepower. The vehicle that the teen wants is probably not the vehicle that you want the teen to have.
Right.
Go with the base engines on these vehicles and make sure you're not encouraging kids to... take risks behind the wheel.
Yeah. Okay. So where do we go to get this list so that we can arm ourselves when we do go out and help the teen get the first car?
Yeah, so the full list of recommended used vehicles is on our website. It's posted this morning on the homepage at IIHS.org, and you can see the full list of 130 recommended used vehicles.
Okay, well, that's good. Oh, so you've kind of narrowed it down for us already.
Yeah, we've got the full list based on those criteria that I mentioned, so that a parent who's picking a vehicle on this list knows that it meets the safety criteria that we've specified, including decent crash test ratings and that all-important standard electronic stability control.
Yeah. And again, a little off the record, Russ, would texting be the major concern of putting your teen in a car for the first time on their own?
Well, having teens buckled up in the car every trip is, you know, the most important thing.
Yes.
Distractions are a problem for teen drivers, for sure.
They're for anybody.
You need to make sure they're not using their phone behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other distractions, too, like putting other teen passengers in the vehicle
True.
With a teen driver.
True.
So you want to minimize all of those things that can distract teens, not just phones.
Yeah. See, I would get them a used car and say, if you have no incidents and you're extremely careful, then when you reach this age, we'll actually buy you a new car or help you get a new car. I would throw some kind of carrot in front of the horse there.
Right.
Yeah, I think I pretty much have to do. It's too bad that there's no app or no mechanical device that would limit the speed of an automobile, so you can't go above 80. Or 85, no matter how much you push that pedal.
Yeah.
That make me a lot more comfortable with having my kid in it.
Well, actually, there are some automakers. The Ford, for example, has introduced a system. I think GM has one too, where parents can monitor how their teens are driving behind the wheel so that you can see if the teen is doing things that they shouldn't be, like not wearing their seatbelt or speeding.
Ha! Finally. Okay, well, man, you know, I speak to a lot of organizations, and you've got this figured out. I can't imagine going through this exercise without your help in this list. One more time where we can get a hold of it.
Yeah, go to IIHS.org, and you can find the full list on our homepage.
Perfect. Hey, Russ, thanks for your time today. It's pretty cool. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care. Russ.
All right, bye.
Bye, Russ. Russ Raber. Russ Raber. This has been just a wonderful experience for me. I don't know when I'll ever have it again. Probably tomorrow. At which time, there'll be a brand new show. I hope that you come back and listen to it. I don't know how to make you do that, really. I could promise you things and give you free cosmetics. That would lure you back. I could do a contest where if you listen to the show and you can tell me the 14th word that I said when after the show began, you win a car. I don't have a car to give away, not even a used one. So I can't do that. I can't give you a piece of candy because you're not here and I have no candy. So there's really nothing I can do to lure you back except try just as hard as I can to inform, entertain, and mess your brain up in some fashion. I promise I will do that tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.